Isaiah 14, verse 12. How you are fallen from heaven, O shining star, son of the morning. How you are cast down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into the heavens. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High, yet you shall be brought down to the grave, to the sides of the pit. Those who see you shall stare and watch you closely, saying, Is this the man who made the earth to tremble, who shook kingdoms? So now we have a blending again from Satan back down to a man. Just like with Judas Iscariot, when he died, Satan did not die with him. Likewise, in 2 Thessalonians, it talks about another one, we have read that many times, whose coming is after the power of Satan, with great signs and wonders, claiming that he is God, exalting himself above everything that is called God, and we know that that refers to the last beast. Now, when the beast is killed, let's go back to Revelation 19, and let's look and see how things happen there. Okay? Now remember this. The wages of sin for human beings is death. So the question is, what are the wages of sin for spirit beings? Revelation 19. Let's see what happens to the beast and the false prophet. Now, were they led and possessed by Satan the devil? Well, yes. All right. Let's read it here, verse 20, Revelation 19. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet who worked the miracles in his presence by which he had deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire, which burns with brimstone. Now, what happens when human beings are cast into fire? They burn up. How long is their torment? Well, about long enough until the heat takes away their breath and they pass out probably an instant before they are burned. But what happened to Satan? If Satan possessed the beast, why not kill him here if he was to be killed? Because what you're going to do, what God is going to do, rather, is set up the kingdom of God, correct? So why not get rid of him permanently forever at this point? If he is to die as a human being. So let's read what happens to him here. Verse 1 of Revelation 20. Then I saw an angel descending from heaven, having the key of the abyss. And when Jesus was casting out demons, they asked him, Oh, have you come to cast us into the abyss or torment us before the time? So who also goes into the abyss along with Satan? All the demons. They would have to. Who is the king of the abyss? Revelation 9. Satan the devil. Having the key of the abyss and a great chain in his hand, and he took the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Well, why do that? If his ultimate fate is to die, why not make him die here? Cast him into the abyss, locked him up, set a seal and sealed the abyss over him so that he would not deceive the nations any longer till the 1,000 years were fulfilled, and after that it is ordained that he must be loose for a short season. Well, we cover that during the last great day. So then, let's see what else it says about demons and so forth. And let's talk about that a bit. Let's come here to 1 Peter, the third chapter. 1 Peter, the third chapter. Let's also ask this question. Why didn't God eliminate Satan before he created Adam and Eve? If he could be changed into flesh, doesn't necessarily have to be made into a human being. Could be made into anything else. Why make him into a human being if he's like a serpent? Why not just make him into the form of a physical serpent and kill the serpent? Then he's died. Why would he take on a human form? Was Satan ever made in the likeness of God? No. Why would he then be given human form to die? All right. 1 Peter, the third chapter. Let's pick it up here beginning in verse 18. Because Christ indeed once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God. On the one hand, he was put to death in the flesh, but on the other hand, he was made alive by the Spirit, by which he also went and preached to the spirits in prison. So there's spirits in prison. Where is this prison? The abyss. Now, when did he do that? Protestants think he did it when he was in the grave. But when he was in the grave, he was in the grave and he was dead. He commended his spirit into the hands of God the Father. That's the last thing he said, right? Into your hands I commend my spirit. So God retained the spirit until the time of the resurrection and resurrected him. Verse 20, which were disobedient in a time past, when once the long suffering of God was waiting in the days of Noah. That's when he went and preached to him, when Noah was building the ark, not when he was in the grave 3 days and three nights. While the ark was being prepared. All right, let's come to 2 Peter, the second chapter. Just a page over. 2 Peter, the second chapter. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but having cast them into Tartarus, and Tartarus then is a place of restraint, or prison, or the abyss, delivered them into chains of darkness. Does that sound a little familiar, what we just read happened to Satan? Yes. To be kept for the judgment. So, the angels that sin, it doesn't say that the wages of sin for angels is death. Is there any scripture that says that? No. Then why try and make the scriptures say something it doesn't say? So why didn't God make him into a serpent or a man and burn him up before the creation of Adam and Eve? Don't you think that would have been better and save us a lot of grief and pain? Huh? Okay. Why did God not do that when the king of Tyre was burned up? Why did God not do it here in Revelation 19 and 20? Satan has a role to play. That's correct. So that we, before we become spirit beings, will know the consequences of sin and develop the righteous, godly character before we're resurrected and changed, so that we will not follow in the footsteps of Satan the devil when we become spirit beings. Nowhere does it say at any time, any place that Satan is going to die. Those he possessed died. King of Tyre, Judas Iscariot, and the beast. But as we saw, Revelation 20, he's still alive. All right, let's come back to Revelation 20 again. Now let's read on, because it tells us some very important things before we get to the release of Satan the devil again. Be loose for a short season. Now verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus. Oh, I didn't know souls could be beheaded. See, souls can die. It's just a soul is a living being. So all of those who were living in the flesh and were beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God, and those who did not worship the beast or his image and did not receive the mark in their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were completed. That ties in with Ezekiel 37. That's when Ezekiel 37 comes into play. See, the key is this. You need the New Testament to interpret the Old. If you go back and read Ezekiel 37, it looks like the Valley of the Dry Bones comes before the millennium. But that is the correct time setting has been given in Revelation and not in Ezekiel. You read the Old Testament and it will go along. It will talk about something that is currently happening. It will talk about a prophecy to be in the future. Then it will shift over to the physical life of Christ, then the spiritual life of Christ. And that's why the Old Testament is put in the way that it is, little here, little there, precept upon precept, then line upon line. So why don't you do that as a study sometime? Say, take one of the Psalms, or go through many of them. This applies to David, this applies to people, this applies to Jesus' physical life, this applies to Jesus' spiritual life, this applies to his resurrection, etc. And you will find sometimes, even in one psalm, all of those elements will be combined together. Now here, Revelation 20 gives us the time setting. Now after the millennium is over, of course it talks about those in the first resurrection. Let's finish here. Blessed and holy is the one who has part in the first resurrection. Over these, the second death has no power. Now, what does this tell us? If you are a spirit being, you cannot die. Is that correct? Second death has no power. True? Why did Jesus become flesh? Because spirit beings cannot die. Why did Satan not become flesh? Because he was a sinning angel. Nowhere does it say that Satan becomes flesh. Why would he have to become flesh? The best he can do is possess people. And those people are killed. I mean, would you say favorite punching bag is Adolf Hitler? Would you say that he was possessed of demons and Satan, perhaps? Did he die? Yes. Was the ground littered with Satan who died with him? Or demons who were with him? No. All right, let's go on. Over these the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now when 1,000 years have been completed, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. The abyss is the prison, correct? During the days of Noah, while the ark was being built, God, who became Christ, as a spirit being, went to the prison where the demons were and preached to them to tell them that their world, which they had created before the flood, was coming to an end. But he was going to save human beings through Noah. And there wasn't anything they could do about it. Now, did Satan magically disappear after the flood? No. He found one he could possess very quickly. His name was Nimrod. And what did they resurrect? A new version of the old religion that Satan inspired before the flood. So look at all of the opportunities where God could have eliminated Satan, made him flesh and got rid of him, but did not do it. A lot of people say, well, why does Satan have to be loosed again? Well, you get any sermon I've given on the last great day and I go through and explain it. Because we're going to have the greatest case of Laodiceanism in the last generation of the millennium that you have ever seen anywhere in the history of time. So Satan is going to be loosed. And he shall go out to deceive the nations that are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, of whom the number is as the sand of the sea, to gather them together for war. Now you see, there comes a time in history, just like with the flood, you've got to cut it off. You have got to stop it. You have got to end it. So likewise, there's a time when you have to cut off all the remaining sinners. They've had 1,000 years. They've had the right history. They've had the right God. They've had everything. But now they choose to go their own way, and they have to be cut off. You cannot have perpetual generations beyond 1,000 years of human beings, bringing more human beings into the world. You must stop it at some point. So this is where it is stopped. God looses Satan for the specific purpose of gathering all of those who are against God. Satan is released to deceive them and thinking that they could come down and with one great battle, if we just capture Jerusalem, we can control the world and take over God's throne. We can take over God. Is that not what Isaiah 14 was about? Yes, indeed. See? So you could also apply Isaiah 14 to this particular instance in type anyway. Verse 9, then I saw them go up upon the breadth of the earth and encircle the camp of the saints and the beloved city, and fire came down out of heaven and consumed them. Was Satan consumed? No. Look at how many times and opportunities there were from just in the Bible to get rid of Satan, to get rid of the demons. And remember, wherever Satan goes, the demons go. But he didn't do it. Now, here's the crux of the article here. And the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet had been cast. Now, when were they cast in there? And why did I add the two words or three words, had been cast? Because it happened 1,000 years before. And being cast in there, they burned up. Could they be tormented forever in flames? Could human beings be tormented forever in a lake of fire? No. Could not be. And they, now it is in the Greek, they, and this is the mistake that is made by most translators. They assume that they means the beast, the false prophet, and Satan. But the they refers to the demons, Satan and the demons. Because if you get rid of Satan, you've got to get rid of all the demons. Is that not correct? Would you just get rid of Satan and not get rid of the demons? What have you solved if you only did that? It's like you know a flood is coming and you put a sandbag up around, you know, right along your road. But nobody puts sandbags up above and nobody puts sandbags down below. The flood comes and you're flooded and all of your sandbagging didn't do any good, right? So if you get rid of Satan, you've got to get rid of the demons, correct? Yes, indeed. Because when they talked to Jesus when he was casting them out, said, are you here to torment us ahead of the time? Are you here to cast us into the abyss? Okay, so let's read it here. And they, Satan and the demons, shall be tormented day and night into the ages of eternity. So the question is, how could a loving God do that? Because God is also judge. Don't view your human emotions as equivalent to how God thinks, or view your sentiments concerning the tormenting of Satan and the demons in human terms. The sin of angels and Satan is much different than the sin of human beings. And their fate is to be tormented forever. Now, brings up another question. How long will the lake of fire be there? Well, we don't know. But we do know this, that after the great white throne judgment, the whole earth, the whole surface of the earth is going to be consumed and incinerated to prepare for New Jerusalem. So apparently, the lake of fire right at the end consumes the whole earth. You read 2 Peter, it talks about that. All right, so let's read on here. So they will be tormented day and night into the ages of eternity. I saw a great white throne and one who was sitting on it, from whose face the earth and heaven had fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, who were what? The rest of the dead listed back in the first part of Revelation 20. They're all resurrected back to a physical life. This is where Ezekiel 37 comes in. So just like, and I think it's very, very interesting to understand that the book of Revelation interprets trumpets, atonement, tabernacles, and the last great day. Without the book of Revelation, You don't have that understanding. So people believe only in the New Testament. They don't understand what it means. And if people only believe in the Old Testament, they don't understand what it means. And if they believe in the Old and New Testament, but persist in their Sunday and other occult holiday worship, they will never understand the plan of God. So they won't understand it either. Now, anyone who was not found written in the book of life, verse 15. Now, Satan has been removed. Let's just clarify this. Do you suppose that living one life under Satan the devil is quite sufficient? Yes. That's why he is removed before the great white throne judgment. They will have the same opportunity as the people during the millennium had, that Satan and the demons were removed. Now, if they don't repent of their sins and accept the salvation that is offered to them at that time, then they will be cast into the lake of fire. All of those who had sinned previously down through all generations will be resurrected and cast into the lake of fire with them. Now, it doesn't say that when they're cast into the lake of fire, that they are tormented forever. They are burned up. But it does say that about Satan, which also has to include the demons. Okay? All right. No page number here, but I'm reading a paragraph from the paper. So if Satan is made mortal, you see you have an if clause with no proof. For the purpose of death and burned to ashes in the sight of all who see him, when does this happen? So then, goes through and explains what I just read here, at least quotes the scripture. Perhaps, and this is speculation, it happens when Satan is released after the 1,000 years of restraint. Now that's a supposition. You cannot make a dogmatic conclusion based upon just a supposition without any scriptural proof. Perhaps, and this is speculation, that's quite right, it happens when Satan is released after the 1,000 years of restraint. Perhaps he returns as a human, as a mortal human, leading Gog and Magog against Jerusalem and against those destroyed by fire, as recounted in Revelation 20. Then quoted Malachi 4:1-3 about that the wicked will be as ashes under the feet of the righteous. True. Comment is written, why would Satan return as a human being? Perhaps the condition of his release from the 1,000 years restraint would be that he returns as a human being. No evidence for it. Perhaps is speculation, quite right. Perhaps God tells him, well, if it is true you won't die, just as you told Adam and Eve they wouldn't die, then you have nothing to fear by being made human. You really won't die. Then you have nothing to risk. Well, this is, again, speculation. You know, if you're going to make such startling claims what God is going to do, it would do well to have some scriptures of absolute proof to show it. Conclusion. Given that Satan is destroyed through death, now you've made the conclusion. And the proof is all based upon human beings who were possessed of Satan who died, rather than Satan himself. Given that Satan is destroyed through death, the Bible gives a consistent message the wages of sin is death. Applies to all, not to angels. All right, then here's another one, Matthew 25:41. Then he shall say to them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Even if it's prepared for them, if they go into it, they're burned up, right? But it says that Satan, and of course the demons along with him, will be tormented forever and ever. And it says in Jude that they are wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Okay. Since this paper is circulated amongst some of you up here, if you have any questions, we'll go ahead and take them at this time. Yes, we just read it. When they become spirit beings, the second death has no power over them. Of course it applies to human beings. Okay, then I'll reverse it. You show me a scripture where it says that the wages of sin for angels is death. No, you don't. Well, who else can die? Can God die? Can angels die? No. Animals can die. Trees and plants can die. Who else is he referring to? You read the whole chapter. Never take a verse out of isolation. What is he saying? We who are baptized unto Christ Jesus. Human beings. Was Satan ever baptized unto Christ Jesus? Romans 6? No, of course not. See? So it applies to human beings.
If Satan
was... Yeah. What about the goat of Azazel upon whom? Let's ask the question. There are two goats in Leviticus 16, correct? One for the Lord, one for Azazel, right? Yes. One is sacrificed to forgive all the sins, uncleanness, and transgressions of the children of Israel. Okay? If the sins are forgiven, they're forgiven, correct? Why then have the second goat? And if this represents Satan, why does he confess the sins again on the head of the second goat? And the goat then is sent into the wilderness, and the wilderness is not heaven. Never is heaven referred to as wilderness. So this is not a second aspect of what Jesus does. This is interpreted by Revelation 20. See? Satan had his sins by causing human beings to sin, but human beings were given choice whether to sin or not sin. So the sacrifice of Christ applies to them, but what about all the sins that he made human beings do that he is responsible for? Does the sacrifice of Christ apply to those? No. They're put back on his head. He is responsible. He is cast into the lake of fire and tormented forever, day and night. That's the fate of angels. Their sin was greater than sinning as human beings, see? So you're right. Why not just put everything on Satan's head and get rid of it all at once? Then you would have to say there would be no need for Christ to come, correct? So then Satan would become Christ. See, that doesn't make sense either. Also, what does this do for all the rest of the spirit beings in the kingdom of God? It will show forever that sin never pays. Okay? So, I have heard of this before. First time I've had it in writing, so I appreciate having it. But here's another good thing. You cannot take a speculation and make a finite dogmatic conclusion on speculation. See? Yes, indeed. Satan is full of speculation. The punishment for spirit beings sinning is different than humans. Yes. Okay, Psalm 82, verse 6, I have said you are gods, and all of you are the children of the Most High, but you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Now, Jesus referred to this as a prophecy in John 10, also referred to it as himself, as the Son of God. Now, obviously, what we are talking about here is if, because you see, you can't take these two verses and separate it from the rest of the Bible and all the other scriptures defining about how to change, how to grow, how to overcome, how to become part of the family of God, etc. So what you're talking about here are the two things. Either you will become as gods in the family of God and be the children of the Most High, or you shall die like men and won't attain to it. It doesn't say as gods they are going to die when you put all of the rest of the scriptures together. This is why you can't take a couple of scriptures and come to an ultimate final conclusion if there are other scriptures which bear on the same subject to give us other information. Comparison between Christ coming into flesh and Satan, speculative being made flesh, there's no comparison. Hebrews 2:14. Hebrews 2:14. Therefore, since the children are partakers of flesh and blood, in like manner he also took part in the same, in order that through death he might annul him who had the power of death, that is, the devil. Annul means to bring to nothing or to make everything as though what he did never happened. That is the works toward human beings. Let's read on the next couple verses. Verse 15. That he might deliver those who were subject to bondage all through their lives by fear of death. Now that certainly doesn't apply to angels or demons, human beings. For surely he is not taking upon himself to help the angels. That also answers the question, could Satan be Darth Vaderized, saved at the end? No. But he is taking upon himself to help the seed of Abraham. For this reason, it was obligatory for him to be made like his brethren in everything, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, in order to make propitiation for the sins of the people, not angels. For because he himself has suffered, being tempted in like manner, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Remember the 14 rules of Bible study. We have them as Appendix A. Ezekiel 28:19. By the multitude of your iniquities. Now remember, it's directed to the prince of Tyre and the king of Tyre, who says he was God. So this has to be someone who was possessed of Satan. By the multitude of your merchandise, they filled the midst of you with violence, and you have sinned. Therefore, I will cast you as profane from the mountain of God, that's referring to Satan. I will destroy you, O covering cherub, from the stones of fire. So being destroyed from the stones of fire does not mean he is being destroyed in the stones of fire. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You have corrupted your wisdom by reason of your brightness. I will cast you to the ground. I will lay you before kings that they may behold you. By the multitude of your iniquities, by the unrighteousness of your trade, you have profaned your sanctuaries. Therefore, I brought forth a fire in your midst. It shall devour you. That has to be the king, because spirit beings cannot be devoured by fire. They're tormented. It shall devour you. I will bring you to ashes upon the earth before the eyes of all who see you. Now let's take this one step further. Was there a king of Tyre? Yes. Did he do these things that are said here? Yes. Was he possessed of Satan the devil? Yes. Did Satan become incinerated and turned to ashes at that point? No. So this is talking about that very king. All right, we can take it ahead in prophecy. Does this also refer to the one who is called the beast, who calls himself God, exalts himself above everything that is called God or that is worshipped as God? When he is destroyed, Revelation 19, is Satan still alive? Answer, yes. Was Satan then cast into the abyss? Yes. All right. And all who know you among the people shall be astonished at you. You became a terror, and you shall not be any more. Now, this reminds me of Hitler and Mussolini. Same thing. I mean, where's the inspiration of Satan coming today? In the USA. What are we doing? Same thing Hitler did. Same thing Stalin did. Same thing Lenin did. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.